from the Deep South. And I love both of these people that are getting ready to share, so I was glad to share their meeting. And our first speaker is going to be Jocelyn. Boy, I'm an addict. My name's Jocelyn. Hi, everyone. Thanks for those of you that came. I know it's late, but we're going to get some recovery in anyway.
Yeah.
Chasing the pink cloud. Whew. So, I was kind of baffled by this topic because we talked about it, and we were like, what in the world does this mean, right? But there is stuff in our literature about it. So I'm going to read out of our Living Clean book. It says, hope and freedom from active addiction come to us early and are given freely. This is what some of us call the pink cloud. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to work for it. But there comes a time when there is no more just taking. This is a crossroads. Many of us stop here and never know what we have missed. We get the real rewards of recovery by giving back and giving forward out of gratitude for what we have been given and out of hope for what is to come. Being of loving service is living spiritually. First we take, then we give, then we share. Living fully is a creative expression of love for our higher power. To be fully alive, awake, and honest about who we are is a gift to us and from us. And, man, that was really powerful for me because, you know, we had talked about, like, what does the pink cloud mean, chasing the pink cloud, right? And a lot of people equate that to, like, right after you get clean, you're, like, on this puffy pink cloud where everything seems fabulous. And, like, that's not the story for me, right? Like, that's not my story. I didn't get clean and feel like I was on this big puffy pink cloud, right? And happy-go-lucky and just I was happy to be clean. Okay, that's what I can say, right? Because I never thought that I would be, this is crazy to me, I never thought in a million years, 6 years ago when I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous on methadone, that I would be standing up here at a podium at a convention sharing with you guys that, like, I don't do any mood-changing, mind-altering substances today. It's fucking wild to me, right? And it's only because of the love of this fellowship, because, like, I did everything that everybody else wanted me to do, right? Like, I did what you all did. I came in here, I got a home group, I found a sponsor, right, that was gracious enough to work steps with me on methadone, and I was the best hugger and coffee maker at that home group, man, because those were the things I could do while I was on methadone. But I didn't celebrate clean time. And we joke about it, like the people that were in my network then, because I literally sat down at a group conscience with them and I tried to dope fiend them into letting me celebrate while I was on methadone, right? Because I couldn't understand it. I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that I wasn't clean. Like, I was just happy to not be sticking a needle in my arm every day. And so, but I pretty much was told to sit my ass down, right? Read some literature about how we're completely abstinence-based. And I did that, right? And I didn't celebrate clean time. So I didn't celebrate clean time for those whole 2 years. But I did end up getting clean, obviously, or I wouldn't be up here sharing with you. So I went away to detox and treatment and came off the methadone. And in that time frame where everybody says, like, that they're on this pink cloud, I was not. I came back, and it was the first time that I was feeling feelings in my life for, like, the last 16 years, right? Because for 16 years, I was on some type of opiate. And so I didn't have this pink cloud because I was fucking clean and fucking crazy. And I apologize to anybody here that was just at my anniversary last week. I just celebrated 4 years on Valentine's Day. And I'm super proud of that because my clean date is February 14th. It's Valentine's Day 2021. And that gave a whole new meaning to Valentine's Day, right? The day of love. It was a day for Jocelyn to learn to love Jocelyn. Yeah. So if any of you have heard me say any of this stuff, I apologize. I'm just... So, like, listen, for me, the pink cloud started when I did my first step. Right? The step work is what I'm going to equate to the pink cloud. So, like, all I knew how to do when I got clean and came back here feeling crazy as fuck. Like, I felt like I needed to unzip the skin I was in and get out of it because I did not feel comfortable in my own skin. I felt fucking crazy. Everything was crazy. And I didn't know where I fit into my life, not as a mom, as a girlfriend, as a daughter, as a sister, nothing, right? And so, like, the only thing I knew is that all of you guys told me that on the other side of the steps is freedom, right? And it's not freedom from active addiction, right? Like, I'm here and I'm clean out of active addiction. It's freedom from me. So I got into the step work, man, and, like, my step working process has been very consistent, right? Because I know that if I stop it, I'm fucked. So for me, I want the freedom that everybody else has after they do step work, right? And so I jumped into one, and my sponsor works steps and traditions with me. And I feel blessed in that aspect because the tradition after the step gives me a little bit of a reprieve, right? Because we get fucking butt naked doing step work, or we should anyway. And so, you know, step one for me was just like, fuck, you're fucked, right? You're fucked, you're powerless, you fucked your whole life up, you fucked all of your children's lives up, right? Everybody that you love. And it just left me like, shit, now I need to go to two, right? Because I need some hope. And I got hope into that, like, something, and at that point I didn't know what the God of my understanding even was. And, like, but something was going to restore me to sanity. And I didn't even know what sanity looked like. Shit, I didn't even know what I liked. I remember my sponsor saying to me, like, why are you so fucking codependent on your boyfriend? What do you like? I was like, I don't fucking know. Heroin? Codependency? Insecurity? Like, that's me, right? Just a big ball of never feeling good enough. So, two gave me some type of hope, right? But I still didn't even know, like, what. So, like, I got to write down in the second step, like, what my God was and was not going to be, right? And that was powerful to me because I grew up in a religion that was very, like, by the book, and I just didn't want to go to hell, right? So I got to write down in the second step, like, what my God was and was not, and that was freeing for me, right? And then three was a whole nother level of surrender for me, right? And, like, that, like, I just don't want to live in my own will anymore because the way I fucking live and my will, I fuck shit up. And people. Fuck people up. And so, like, that foundation was powerful for me, but the fucking... wow, like the freedom after each of those things. And I said this in my anniversary, like, man, every time I do step work with my sponsor, it's like she hands me a key and I get to put the keys in my pocket. And the keys are the keys to freedom, right? And they go to the jail cells that are in my mind that could pop open on any given day, depending on my spiritual condition, that tell me, like, you're not good enough, right? You're never going to be good enough. And, like, you're a horrible person, all of the things, right? But the difference is that after working steps, I have those keys to lock the jail cells back. And that's powerful for me because, like, standing here today with 4 years clean and 11 steps under my belt, I still have days where I can wake up and I'm my own worst enemy looking back at me in the mirror. So I got to go through four and write down these resentments, right? And this is the chasing that I'm doing because on the other side of these steps, I get freedom, right? And I get to learn about me and why did I do the things I did, right? What drove me to stick a needle in my arm? And at four, I got to learn that, right? I got to learn that, like, I have abandonment issues that I suffer from because my dad left my mom and I when I was one. And, like, I sit there on her front steps with a backpack on waiting for him to come get me, and he never showed up, right? And that molded me into the person that I became as a teenager and a young adult where, like, I chose men just like my father, where, like, you can treat me however you want, just don't fucking leave. And so, like, in that step work, but my dad, he died. He died as a direct result of this disease, right? And I took care of him. Before I even knew what the disease of addiction was, I took care of him on his deathbed, right? And all I could write about in that resentment was, like, how the fuck did I take care of you while you were dying, but you couldn't take care of me when you were supposed to? But in that step, I also got to find some forgiveness for him, because my sponsor said to me, Jocelyn, did you love your kids any less when you were using? And I said, no, I didn't. You couldn't tell me that I did. She said, but could you stop using for them? And my answer was, no, I couldn't. Right? So in that step, I got to find some forgiveness for my father, and in turn, find some forgiveness for myself. And so in that step, That I felt like there was 1,000 pounds lifted off my back after I went over my fourth step with her. And being able to do a fifth step, right? And just admit, like, where I'm at, right where I'm at, right? And, like, she fucked me up, because when I wrote down those resentments, I thought I was going to be able to get my licks off on somebody, right? Like, they did this, they did that, they did this. And she was like, yeah, but what was your part? She's real good about making me look at my part, right? And so I learned in that step also that, like, I play a part in every fucking situation in my life. Did I play a part in the fact that I was drugged and raped by my boss? No. Right? So I had to cross him off the resentment list. But the freedom after those two steps was immeasurable for me. I felt like a completely different person, right? And so then I go forward into 6, and it's like, you're still fucked up, right? I'm still fucked up, but guess what? In 7, I can pray to have those shortcomings removed, thank God. And, like, this whole process for me has been just chasing the freedom after every single step, which has been my pink cloud. Look, when I was 4 months clean, my mom died. And I wrote about the reservations, right? That was one of them. If my mom dies, I don't know if I'll be able to stay clean. And the great thing about this program is that, like, I got to call other addicts who had lost family members in recovery, and they told me how to get through the death of a loved one and not use. You're a good girl. Come on back. But here's the crazy part. That reading talked about it. It talked about giving back and giving forward out of gratitude for what we've been given. Right? My sponsor and I just talked about this. She's the same exact way. We like attention, but we don't like to be the center of attention. So standing up here right now, I'm sweating my ass off. Fucking nervous. Because I come in here and I think I need to share what you want to hear. Because if I don't, then you're going to be judging me from the seats. But I can promise you that there's nobody that's a greater judge of me than I am of my damn self. Right? So we talk about giving back in this process, right? And, like, I just have to share this because it's been on my heart heavy lately, and it really pertains to this reading, that we give back, right? We don't never know when we walk in the door who we have to pull up out of the fucking trenches. And sometimes it's your own fucking people, right? Or people that you would rather not have be your people for whatever reason. And for me, that was the case, man. Listen, I have 4 beautiful children, but I have a daughter that's 26 years old, and her dad is an addict and has been for 26 years. And I hated this man, like, despised him. And she's recently gotten custody of his children because he can't stop using. And I've been there for her, right? Because Narcotics Anonymous has afforded me the ability to be present for my family and my kids and my responsibilities and commitments, right? And so, like, I'm there for her, and she has these kids, man, and I've developed a relationship with these kids. And I'm on an eighth step. And I'm writing down these lists of people that I have to make amends to, right? That I need to become willing to make amends to. And her dad was on that list. He was also on my fourth step. And in the eighth step, it talks about, like, is there anybody that you still have a resentment with that you're, that's going to prevent you from making an amends? And he was on there. That was him, right? Because I'm pissed. You've got my 26-year-old with four of your children. She can't live her own life, and she's crying because you're telling her you need to grow up and get over it. That's in the past. And so he's there in that spot on that eighth step, right? And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to let this resentment go in order to be able to make an amends to him. Because even though he was a shitty person to me, right, and my children, I still played a part in our relationship. Because the fourth step said so. Okay? So I get to this place where I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, right? And the God of my understanding has a real big sense of humor, and he likes to, like, make funny little jokes. And so, like, I get this call from my daughter that her dad is out of jail and he's in treatment somewhere. And I look up the number that he called her from, and he's in treatment at the very place that I am a panel coordinator for at H&I. Like I said, you don't ever know who the fuck is going to be the recipient of your hand to pull them up out of the ditch that they're in. And am I capable of doing that? Because I didn't know. I was stuck in a place where I wanted to beat the fuck out of him. Right? Because that's my baby. And I got to a place with the help of other people in Narcotics Anonymous, man, my boyfriend, my sponsor, people in my network that I had to call because I know I have to go to this treatment facility, and am I going to smack them across the face or am I going to give them a hug? And that was a tough spot to be in. Now remember, he didn't know I was coming, but I knew he was there. So after several conversations with several people and a lot of prayer and meditation, I walked into that facility and I saw him and I gave the man a hug. Right? And I didn't even put this together until after I shared this at my anniversary, and my sponsor was like, that's your fucking living amends to him right there. And that was profound to me. Because I didn't even connect the dots there. And I can only receive information from people when I'm fucking fully emotionally, mentally, and spiritually mature enough to fucking hear it. So that's profound to me that I was even able to do that, right? And then I had to go back there two more times that same month while he was there because my panel leaders spaced on me. So that was fun. But that was the ninth for me, right? And 10 seems like it could be a hard thing to do, right? Because who wants to sit there at the end of every single day and figure out who they harmed and did they harm anybody, right? But it's easy. It's easier with practice, right? So I'm able to do that today. And for me, 11 was so fucking freeing. Like, I literally, look, my sponsor is from Nashville. This is her. And we have never been in person to go over step work. But we got to go over an 11th step this week while she was here. And when I started writing the 11th step, I sent her a text and I was like, did you feel like just peaceful on your 11th step? And she was like, I did after I went over it. Look, I felt so much fucking peace writing that 11th step. I can't even tell you. Like, I am heavy on the peace right now. That is all I want. And when you come from a life of complete fucking chaos in your brain, the peace is the greatest gift. And the peace is what I have gained from these steps. I can't even put it into words enough to suffice to make somebody understand that, man, if you are here and you are new and you want the pink cloud to last throughout your recovery, you got to get into the step work and do the work. That's where the freedom is for me. That's where the peace is for me. And even though it could be shitty when you're writing on the steps, man, like, I just know that when you're on the other side of it, the possibilities are endless, and the inner spiritual peace that I have from working them is something that I can't even put into words. It's as simple as that. So for me, the pink cloud is just fucking being able to keep coming back here, hanging out with you guys, singing karaoke at an NA convention, right? Doing the Cupid Shuffle at an NA convention. Not giving a fuck what anybody else thinks. Because there was a time in my life when I cared way too much about what other people thought. And I do care what you guys think. I do, right? I care what other people think, and I care about people's feelings today. And that's something new for me, too. Because before, I didn't care if I stepped on you to get up to the next level. And that's just not the person that I am today. So, with all that being said, I hope I shared enough about a pink cloud. And if I didn't help you, I helped myself. Thanks for letting me share. All right, next up is Derek.
Yay! I'm an ag named Derek.
Derek.
First and foremost, man, if anybody in this room is new to Narcotics Anonymous, man, welcome. Welcome home. Welcome to a new way of life, man. The message is hope and the promise of freedom. And I'm going to read something too real quick. It's in the Living Clean in the section Awakening. It says, in early recovery, many of us move back and forth between genuine excitement at our new possibilities and sorrow for what we have lost. Some of us describe early recovery as a pink cloud, and others tell about a long season of grief. We experience many new feelings, sometimes very quickly. We grow and change, build and lose relationships, go to meetings, and we learn. Throughout our recovery, we experience new awakenings, new surrenders, and new freedoms. The simple principle we learn when we are beginning our recovery take on deeper meaning as we practice them in our lives. Just when we think we know all that recovery has to offer, more is revealed if we are willing to accept the gift. Sorry, I had to see that, but I need to get that out of my mouth. So listen, man, like, thank you for your service. Thank you for everybody on the convention committee for your service. I've been a part of a convention committee, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication, a lot of principles. It takes a lot to put this on, you know what I'm saying? And listen, man, when, you know, again with the pink cloud, like, I got to sit back and reflect a little bit, right? And a lot of times, you know, you think of, like, newcomers when it comes to the pink cloud, and I gotta be honest, right, like, the last 4 years, she's been my pink cloud, right? Like, it's one thing to, like, go to a meeting every week and see a newcomer. But when you get to live with one and watch the transformation as a result of doing what we do is beautiful, right? Like, it's a gift, like, to watch somebody that just drove you fucking nuts, right? Codependent as fuck. Turn into, like, a beautiful person. You know what I mean? That's been the pink cloud. Now, looking at early recovery for me, because, like, my clean date is July 25th, 2014. And going back to early recovery, like, check it out, man. I was told early on, if you don't remember your last day using, chances are it ain't your last day using. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the pain, the emptiness, the confusion. people ask me a lot of times, because this isn't my first time trying to get clean. They said, what happened this time? I'd be like, honestly, I don't know. I was spiritually, mentally, and emotionally bankrupt, right? And when I got here this time, I had the gift of desperation. I don't know about a pink cloud. Like, check it out. I got clean in San Diego, California. I had no family. I'm from here. I had no family. I had no money. I had no car. I didn't have shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't even know if I was excited to be clean, to be honest with you, right? Like, that's the truth. I knew that I didn't want to feel the way I was feeling anymore, right? Like, and I'll never forget the prayer of God. I don't ever want to feel like this again. And like, my God said back, you don't have to if you're willing to do certain things, right? And so, like, I got into step work very early on in recovery. I had to. I had no choice. I didn't have time to loiter with the intent to recover. I had to get busy. And I did my first 3 steps in my first 90 days. And I'll be honest, if I hadn't done that, I don't know that I would be here. And like, in the first step, there's a question, like, what was the jarring experience that led you to work in this step? And I'm going to tell you, I went to detox. I met this little girl. We hooked up. We got out of the detox, and I said, yo, like, this is going to be a thing. Now, she's from San Diego. Here I am living in the hood in, like, a little duplex halfway house. She's up on the hill in the beach town, right? This is, I'm like, yo, I came up in this motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? 2 weeks into it, she said, I can't fuck with you no more. And she broke my motherfucking heart. And for about 4 or 5 days, I told everybody that was willing to listen how she broke my heart. And the 4th or 5th day, I had this, like, moment of clarity. Motherfucker, you knew her for 2 weeks. Maybe your ass might want to do this step work they're talking about. And that was honestly the jarring experience that pushed me to doing step work. Now check it out, man. Like, I don't know about a pink cloud, because I've been crazier fucking clean than I ever was using drugs. I was 25 years old. I'm living in San Diego. At this point, after I did my first step, I became excited to be clean. Jocelyn talked about, like, chasing that freedom, man. The first step left me with, I was fucked up, but it was the first time in a long time that I was able to start sorting through the confusion and have a little bit of clarity on not what I'm doing, where I'm doing it, who I'm doing it with, how I'm doing it, but why am I doing this, right? Why I feel the need to kill myself with drugs on a daily basis, right? And so, like, I worked this first step, and it was like, yo, you're fucked all the way up. Tore up from the floor up. And I was cool with that. I wasn't confused. You know what I'm saying? But then I worked the second step. And then I worked the third step, right? And the second and third was like, one is, hey, man, you're fucked up. Two is like, but wait, there's hope. And three was like, this is the action plan, right? Now, listen, I've been in a lot of pain clean. I've been in the fetal position several times clean. Majority of the time, it was a direct result of my behaviors. I put down the dope, and I found a whole lot of other things that made me feel whole. Early recovery for me, I was a very sexually active person. I shared this a lot, that sex became my identity. Now, why I share that, right, is because it made me, it dictated how I felt about myself, right? Who I was doing it with, how I was doing it, how many times I was doing it, you know, all that dictated how I felt about myself. And I think at 2 years clean, I found myself in the fetal position clean. And another reason that my relationship is so important to me today is because through doing step work, I was able to sort through that confusion. Why was I in the fetal position? The truth is, I just wanted to love and be loved. You know what I'm saying? And through fear and self-centeredness, I wasn't able to be that for anybody. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, yo, man, you're really good at like sharing in the meetings, man. You're doing H&I, you're doing all this type of shit. But the way you're treating yourself when you leave here is not a direct result of you loving yourself. And the fourth step, I got to start to identify some things, right? I got to go over the big secret with my sponsor. You want to talk about the pink cloud. I had this sexual stuff that happened when I was a kid that I was never going to share with anybody, right? And I shared it with my sponsor. And he chuckled. I said, this motherfucker. I was never going to tell nobody. And he chuckled. And I heard two of the most powerful words we have in Narcotics Anonymous. Me too. And you want to talk about the pink cloud. I said, wait a minute. Like, you too? I'm not alone? I thought like it was only me. And as I started to share this stuff, man, like all the chains started to come off, man, that like were on me for a long time, man, that like blocked me from having a relationship with a higher power, blocked me from having a relationship with like people in my life, right? And I got through the fourth and fifth step and I got to six and like this was the hit, right? Here comes the pink cloud. Six, writing six wasn't painful for me. It was how I was living while I was on it. That was the painful part. And I'm out there hoeing. And listen, man, if you're in here, right, and you're hoeing, like, I got good news for you. Hoes recover, too, in Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, right? And so, like, I'm going over my sixth step with my sponsor, right? And in the step working guide, there's a question, like, what spiritual principle can you put into place as opposed to acting out on the defect? And over half my answers were self-acceptance. Now listen, that's not, like to most people, they'd be like, oh, that's painful. For me, it was the pink cloud because it gave me clarity on why I'm doing what I'm doing. You're treating yourself this way because you don't accept yourself. You don't love yourself, right? And so, look, man, I did seven, I did eight and nine, man. I got to put myself on that amends list, right? I put me on four. I got to put me on eight and nine. And I was like, yo, sponsor, like, how do I make amends to myself, man? And he said, well, stop being a hoe. Don't stick needles in your arm. You know what I'm saying? Stop going to the casino. Because I stopped using women, and I found that place with the shiny lights and the loud noises several times. I've never wanted to kill myself more than leaving the casino clean. Motherfucker, you are broke. You done spent all your money. You don't know how you're going to eat this week, and you're not even using drugs. Whew. So look, man, like, I got to make amends to a lot of people. The 10th step was amazing for me. 11 and 12 was great. And this opportunity, we got three parts to the message. Stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, right? And that finding the new way to live has been the pink cloud for me. At 5 years clean, I wanted to commit suicide. Worse than I ever did using drugs. And the reason I was is because I was comparing myself to everybody else. I'm like, damn, dude, I got 5 years clean. There's newcomers with careers, kids, wives, all this shit. I'm like, fuck, what are you doing? You're renting a room. You don't know what the fuck you want to be when you grow up. And my mind had me believing that I should be somewhere that I wasn't. And the truth is, I didn't want any fucking kids. Why I'm worried that they got them and I don't? Because I'm in a meeting one time sharing and a fucking kid is doing laps around me and shit, right? And I'm like, well, this little motherfucker, where's his parents, dude? Get this kid out of here. I'm like, we'll see him in fucking 18 years. Look at him. Jesus Christ, he might be high now. But I didn't kill myself. And a year later, here comes this beautiful young lady in my life, right? So we talk about don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. That's not a one-time event in this process. It said, like, man, if we are willing, the blessings will keep coming. The surrenders will keep happening, these things, right? And here she comes in my life. And next thing you know, she's got four kids. And here they fucking come, right? And then before I know it, I got a little plumbing business going. And next thing you know, we're playing house, man. And we got a fucking house, right? And, like, all this shit is happening. And I'm like, holy shit, man. If I'd have killed myself, I would have never had this. Her bringing her kids into my life, right? Like, you want to talk about the pink cloud, man. It's like, thank God for the 12 Steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Kids are a blessing, but damn, can they be some stress. Especially when it's two teenage girls that come into your life at that point, when all they've known is mom and dad together, and now here comes this guy. But what I learned, right, was just try to be their friend. Try to communicate effectively. And we've done a lot of fun things together, man. Listen, Jocelyn will tell you she got five kids. I'm the fifth one. I'm a very free-spirited motherfucker. I like to have fun. I like to do wild, goofy shit. We're leaving the restaurant last night, and there's this big fucking concrete elephant. And Cindy's like, dude, get up on that so I can take a picture. I'm like, fuck it, let's get on the fucking elephant. Her daughter's like, we're going to get kicked out. I'm like, fuck it, we ate already. What are we going to get kicked out of, you know what I mean? It's like, they call the cops. I'm like, I'll point to Cindy and run. Fuck it. So these kids coming in my life, man, gave me like an opportunity to like do fun shit. Because that's what this thing is about, right? Like, look, man, we can go sit in a meeting for an hour. But for me, living life is going go-karting with the kids. When it snows, going sledding. You know what I'm saying? Like, showing them that, like, you know, shit, last night we went out to the fucking little club in our town and fucking dancing. You would have thought we were fucked up. Right? But I've learned how to live life, and it's all through a result of working the steps and being comfortable with myself that I'm able to go out and not need a substance. Man, the pink cloud is like, you know, she shared about everything her daughter's going through. And her daughter's fiance reached out to me a couple weeks ago like, hey, man, I'm fucking struggling. It's like, damn, dude, like people actually like reach out to you today, right? My dad was my biggest resentment on my fourth step. My best friend today. As much as he drives me fucking nuts, the pink cloud for me is that we get to work together sometimes, right? And he drives me fucking nuts. But we talk every day on the phone. This was the dude that, like, man, I'm telling you, like, I had a lot of resentment and anger towards him. It was a lot of mental and emotional abuse growing up. A lot of you ain't shit, you're never gonna be shit, your mom ruined you growing up. Where I found peace was that with that was on my fourth step when I stopped making it about me, 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 and I thought about what his childhood was like. Growing up with an abusive father that beat him and his mom, right? And it allowed me to understand his process and realize that he did the best he could for me. And instead of playing the victim, I just accepted that he did the best he could. Now, did it change what he did and make it right? No, but it brought peace within my spirit to where today we can have a relationship that's healthy. We talk. You know, my dad, I had a stepmom growing up and I still don't like her. They're not together anymore. And I always said, man, when she fucking leaves him, who's he going to have then? And through that process of them splitting up, I got to be there for my dad. That's the pink cloud. My dad told my mom at the end of my road, like, this is the last time that I'm going through this. I've already prepared myself to see him in the casket. I can't keep doing this. You know what I'm saying? Showing up with my eye fucking hanging out of my head because a home invasion just happened. Or, you know, calling him dad this, dad that, man. Like, and you know what? As much as the abuse that he did, he was always the guy that was there when I needed help. Always. So today I choose to look at those things and not hold on to that old stuff, right? The pink cloud is we're here on a fucking Saturday night. Alive. Clean. Free. My friend, got to come in from Nashville. Listen, man, it's been amazing because I'm a traveling addict. When I got here, my world was this big. When I got clean, man, we went to conventions. We traveled. We met people. I want to say it was about 7 years ago, I met this speaker jam, man. It's called the Young Gun Speaker Jam. And it was everybody had 5 years or less. And these speakers went all day long, right? And I didn't really hear anybody that was like my flavor until Cindy showed up. And she was off the fucking hook. I was like, yo, she's wild as fuck, but thank God there's somebody here like me. I had no idea on that day that 7 years later she'd be sponsoring my girlfriend. I had no idea that day that she'd be staying at our house for a week. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea that she'd be here driving me fucking bananas for a week. It's one thing when you're talking shit to one, but when they got back up, it starts to get a little fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, when the fuck are you leaving? I've got to develop relationships, man. My network is built around the country, around the world. The pandemic was a pink cloud for me because I got to get on a virtual platform and meet people all over the place and develop relationships with people all over the place. We get to travel, man. Listen, I still get emotional when we get on an airplane and when I get off. Because it didn't have to be that way. When I smell the different air and I try the different food, right? It didn't have to be that way. Today my world is as big as I want it to be. And I'm going to kind of keep it to like right now. How much time I got?
You got
12
minutes.
God damn, 12 minutes? She was supposed to take more time. I don't know. I'm going to hold you motherfuckers hostage all night. As long as I can keep you in here, I'm keeping out of this. So check this out, right? A few years ago, I got this job. I started making all this money, and money, property, and prestige started to become my priority. And the disease of addiction kept telling me, like, yo, man, you don't need Narcotics Anonymous. You're straight. And if it wasn't for Jocelyn, I don't know that I'd be here tonight. She was the one little string that kept me holding on, right? And she asked me to come share at her home group one night, and I went and shared at the home group, man. I loved, man, listen, the atmosphere of recovery is fucking crucial around here. Our fifth tradition talks about carrying the message to the addict that still suffers, man, and there ain't no clean time requirement on the addict that still suffers.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you got to be 30 days clean to be the addict that still suffers. There's somebody still using, right? Yeah. I've been in here suffering with clean time. And so I went to this meeting, man, and listen, I welcome the newcomer when I share because I want to put the most important person before myself, right? Because the self-centered part of me wants to just start running my mouth about what I want to talk about. And so I learned in San Diego that I always welcome the newcomer first, man, and give back, right? And so I started going to this meeting, and I got a new sponsor. And at our home group, man, we get there 45 minutes early, and we write on steps, and then the meeting starts at 7. And next thing you know, man, I've worked 3 steps. I'm on another 4 step. But something happened in that meeting, right? I met a group of guys that really, like, ignited that fucking flame in me, right? It was some dudes, man, that were going to that meeting that have, like, loved me back to life again, right? It's newcomers loving me back to life with years clean, right? So, like Jocelyn shared, man, don't get it fucked up. You don't never know where your help's going to come from. And it was their passion that got me excited about Narcotics Anonymous again, right? And since then, right, I picked up a couple sponsees, man, and we get to do this work, right? And they continue to keep breathing life into me, right? So if you're in here and you're new and you feel like you don't got a purpose, man, I need you with 10 years clean. You might think that, like, you need me, man. I need you with 10 years clean. And life is good, man. Like, check it out. The pink cloud, I've heard people share about it. I don't know that I have had this, like, fucking magical unicorn riding motherfucking moment. I don't know. I had a lot of fun when I first got clean, but I was fucked up a lot, too. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I was, like, on the cloud, fell off, got back on, fell off, got back on. I don't know. Maybe I was like a fucking trampoline with the pink cloud. I don't know. But today my life is good, man. And like, check it out. Every day don't have to be good. There's days I wake up and it's just not my motherfucking day. And I'm not confused that like, hey man, it's all good. Just feel your feelings. The self-centered part of me wants to go out and chase something else to fix that. Today, I just get to feel it and be cool with it. Listen, I love like certain times of the year when I hear people say, oh man, this is always a really fucking hard time of year. Always a hard time. Like, man, what do you got, a fucking planner, dude? You got like how your feelings are going to be? Like, fuck Christmas, yeah, I usually feel fucked up. New Year's, yeah, that's a bad day. Just be planning your feelings. If last year was bad, maybe this year is going to be good. I don't fucking know. But when I have those bad days, man, I just hang in the pocket. And I'm grateful for them, right? Because those bad days, those days where I wake up with that shotgun-sized hole in my chest, I say, man, that's why you used. That's why you felt the need to kill yourself with drugs on a daily basis. And I'm grateful now that I get the understanding, because there was a point in time where I didn't know why I did what I did. And through doing the work, right, I get to have that awareness. This is why. But you got a spiritual solution, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, to give you the opportunity to be free. And I'm going to share this and shut it down, man. Look, I love the step working guy. I love it. And I hear a lot of people fucking complain about it. Keeps asking me the same thing over and over again. So many fucking questions. I already answered it. I'm looking around the room. I would imagine there's some people in here that have been interrogated by the police before. I'm probably the only one, actually. So when you get interrogated by the police, right, they ask you the same questions over and over again. All different types of ways. Why? To extract as much of the truth out of you as possible. So I look at the step working guide and all them annoying fucking questions as a spiritual, mental, and emotional interrogation. To extract as much of the truth out of me as possible. Because what grows in the dark will die in the light of exposure. And I've gotten a lot of freedom through working the 12 steps. Man, I'm on this fourth step again. And I know that I only had the courage to share what I was able to share on the first four step. I knew there was things I left out. But this time, man, it's not blind faith. I know the freedom that I get. And I'm excited to go through it. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared. But I know that, like, how free do I want to be? The new surrenders. The new freedoms. The pink cloud. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I'm grateful as fuck that you guys hung in here with us. It's harder for me to share to small crowds than it is big crowds because I feed off of energy. But you guys brought a lot of fucking energy. Jocelyn, I love you. Thanks for sharing. Nathan, thank you for your service. Cindy, thank you for your service. And with that, hopefully we're all in a pink fucking cloud tonight. We can go do some fucking karaoke, something. That's why I got this on the show.
All right, Cindy, I'm an addict. Great job. Let's give our speakers another hand. We just close it up.
Yep.
We're good to close it up. All right, let's take a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God?
God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah, yeah.